Today's scripture reading is taken from Daniel chapter 1, verse 1 to 6, and verse 17 to 21. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Then the king commanded Aspenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance, and skillful in all wisdom, and all with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, and to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate, and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azrael of the tribe of Judah. Verse 17. As for these four youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. At the end of the time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king spoke with them, and among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azrael. Therefore they stood before the king. And in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all his kingdom. And Daniel was there until the first year of King Cyrus. This is the reading of the Lord's word. Good morning. How are you today? I am Veronica. I am the missions pastor. For the past 2 Sundays, we heard from Reverend Eric and Pastor Singing about the biblical and contemporary context of tent making and the crucial role of the local church and the tent maker, respectively. Today, I will wrap up the mission month by looking at the strategic importance of tent makers in missions. Before I begin, let us commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, you are our missionary God. May the words speak forth from your servant's mouth will not return to you empty, but fulfill your purpose in the hearts of your people today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our Missions Month theme this year is serving God's mission with our talents and skills. So we chose a very relevant topic on tent making for our sermon series. Why do we use tent making as a strategic platform for mission work? Is there a need for tent making to complete the unfinished tasks of God's mission? We will first look at the state of mission today, which is my first point. So, is there a need for tent-making strategy for today's world mission? To answer this question, we need to see the needs of our world today. As you can see from the slide, it shows the global summary of the people groups of the world. This source is from the Dosha Project. There are a total of 17,429 people groups in the world. The unreached people's percentage is 42.4, which is 7,397 people groups remain no or little access to the gospel and Christians. And the population of these 7,400 people groups is about 3.22 billion. That means there are approximately 3.2 billion people who are not evangelized or have not heard of Jesus Christ yet. Looking at this growing figure, it tells us that the salvation work of God in our world today remains a huge unfinished task. So there is an urgency to bring the good news of Jesus to the unreached people groups in the world while it still can be accessed. What are unreached people groups? Unreached groups lack enough Christians and resources to evangelize their people. To explain further, let us look at the next slide. The progress level chart explains what does it mean by unreached and rich. Level 1 defines as unreached, where there are a few Christians, very few, who spread the gospel to their people. From level 2 to 5, it defines the progress of the richness status in the people groups. Level 2 defines as minimally rich, where there are many Christians but very few who evangelize to their people. Level 3 defines as superficially rich, where there are few evangelicals and many Christians who need spiritual renewal. Level 4 defines as partially rich, where many evangelize to their people. In contrast, Level 5 defines a significantly rich, where there is a significant presence of Christians who share the gospel with their friends and family members. How about Singapore? We fall under which progress level? At this point, I remember the significant evangelization efforts made by the Celebration of Hope last year. Let us recap briefly in these next three slides. Celebration of Hope was a platform for personal evangelism on a mass scale. It culminated in gospel rallies at National Stadium over 3 days in May last year. Its goals was to have the gospel shared in every tongue, language, to be no barrier to salvation. COH planned their events in English, Chinese, and other languages. Celebration of Hope's mission was to proclaim the gospel on a scale not seen in a generation. Then who was involved in this great event? On the slide, we can read that the Celebration of Hope was a city-wide endeavor calling on all churches to unite for prayer and the proclamation of the life-transforming name of Jesus. Almost 200 churches responded, and Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church was one of the 200. We thank God for such enormous united evangelization efforts made by the churches and Christian organizations to the people group in Singapore. So does this make Singapore a rich nation? Let us look at the progress level again. Is Singapore at level 4 partially rich, or level 5 significantly rich? What do you think? Let me show you the answer on the next slide. Based on the statistics provided by the Joshua Project, There are 50 people groups in Singapore. Do we know? Out of the 50 groups, 20 are still unreached. It means that there are very few Christians and few who evangelize to their people groups. Then the population in the 20 unreached groups is about 1 million people waiting to hear the gospel. If you are interested in finding out about these 20 unreached people groups in Singapore, you can go to the Joshua Project's website and learn more. But importantly, pray for these people groups. So, Singapore is at which progress level? It shows on the chart that we are at level 4, partially reached. It means there are many Christians evangelized to their people. At this point, I am thankful for the many churches and Christians in Singapore who are making efforts to reach out to the pre-believing people for Christ. This year, our church embarks on Alpha. Alpha is a relational evangelistic platform to bring our non-believing friends and family members to explore the Christian faith. We thank God for our guests, our hosts, and helpers who have committed for the 8 sessions. Besides the adult Alpha, the youth Alpha happens at the same time too. We thank God that we still can do the gospel work in this manner in our country. We cannot take this for granted. So we should do more to create opportunities for our friends and family members to know more about Jesus Christ. Can we imagine the 17,429 unreached people groups consists of 3.2 billion people out there in the world who are waiting to hear the gospel? Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15 say, "And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." So we need to send workers into the wide harvest field of the unreached people. God's mission remains an unfinished task. If we Christians do not do it, who will? Then where are the unreached? The unreached people groups concentrate in an area of the world referred to as the 1040 window. On the world map, as you can see on the slide, there is this rectangular box covers area of North Africa to Asia, approximately between 10 degrees north and 40 degrees north latitude. This box is called the 1040 window, and it is often called the resistant belt that is resistant to the gospel. This 1040 window is home to some of the largest unreached people groups in the world. An estimated 5.16 billion people reside in this 1040 window. Out of the 5.16 billion people, the unreached constitutes to 3.13 billion people in the 1040 window. It is also home to the majority of the world's poor. Of the poorest of the poor, more than 8 out of 10 live in this 1040 window. These people are unreached because they are geographically not accessible to outsiders. As a result, they live in extreme poverty because of no outside help. Not just that, they are also situated in dangerous places, thereby making accessibility even harder. Most of these unreached peoples are in countries where regular missionaries are not allowed. That means they cannot apply for a Mishmi visa to stay there. So there is a need to use indirect means to enter these countries to introduce the good news. With all these challenges, how can we reach out to them? What are the strategies that we can employ? We can use tent-making strategies. This term tent-making came about from the Apostle Paul's practice of his trade of making tents while involved in mission work. And we have heard from the speakers for the past two Sundays about tent makers and tent making. My second point is that we can use our God-given skills and talents intentionally in strategic and challenging places for God's mission. We'll look at the book of Daniel and see how God uses Daniel and his skills to reach out to the unreached people groups even in exile. Do we know Daniel, who served kings of three unreached people groups, namely the Babylonians, Medes, and Persians? You can see from the slide the geographical locations of Babylon, Medes, and Persia. These three places or regions were Israel's neighboring countries in the east. They were pagan nations, idol worshippers. The Babylonians were merciless towards their enemies. They killed with terror and plundered the cities of their enemies. When we read Daniel chapters 1 to 6, we see God's power and control displayed in the lives of Daniel and his three friends despite the hostile environment. Daniel chapter 1 verses 1 to 6 say, "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim of Judah into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Then the king commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, and to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate, and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Among these was Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Ezra of the tribe of Judah." These verses tell us that Daniel and some of the young people were in exile. They were prisoners of war in Babylon. However, their treatment by the enemies was unique compared in treating prisoners in prison cells. They had the choicest food and wine that the king had, and they were treated with respect because they had the king's favor. Have you thought of what was King Nebuchadnezzar's intention when he wanted these Israelites, who were his enemies, to serve in his courts? These Israelites were the handsome young Elites in Judah, probably 20 years old or even younger. They possessed exceptional intelligence, abilities, and understandings. The purpose of having them to serve the king after educating them the local customs was to build up his empire to make it even stronger. And these Elites would also become influential there. It would seem to be the king's plan, but what was God's plan? Chapter 1 verse 17 tells us, As for these four youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And then verse 20 says, and in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all his kingdom. God gave Daniel and his 3 friends unique skills and gifts to serve the king's palace and the Babylonians. Then how did God use them? In chapter 2, Daniel interpreted King Nebuchadnezzar's first dream, and it was about God's plan of his future kingdom to come. When the king heard it, he was astonished and paid homage to Daniel. As a result, the king acknowledged God as God of gods and Lord of kings and the revealer of mysteries in verse 47. And the king promoted Daniel to become a ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon in verse 48. Then in verse 49, Daniel also requested the king to appoint his 3 friends over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but he remained at the king's court. God gave Daniel his 3 friends skills and gifts to enable them to learn and govern the province of Babylon well. Now, these skills could include administration, leadership, management, communication, relationship, and other abilities, and it would take time to develop them. So likewise, God has a plan to put us where we are right now. If we are studying, then God is developing our learning abilities. If we are working, then God is developing our skills to put what we learn into practice. So actually, our learning ability is very crucial. When we can learn well, we can develop skills effectively. That's why God gave Daniel and his 3 friends learning abilities in chapter 1, verse 17. So we must not see that it is only our human efforts to learn and do well. We should also pray to God and ask Him to grant us learning abilities just like He gave to Daniel. So God gives us skills and talents to serve where we are right now, be it in our jobs, schools, charities, organizations, community, and others. And it creates many opportunities for us to reach out to the people around us. So we need to see it as God's plan to put us where we are to be His witness. Then let us learn and do well where we are, because we will never know when God will use our skills and talents one day to serve Him overseas where many are waiting to hear Jesus Christ. You could be the future tent-making missionary to the Amish people groups in the world. Nothing is impossible for God. Last Sunday, or 2 Sundays ago, Mission Aviation Fellowship shared at the online mission station. They used aircraft to fly resources and missionaries to isolated people groups and communities to do God's work. It was inspiring to hear their missionary share about his calling to the ministry of MAF and how God used his flying skills to do God's mission. He also shared the challenges he faced when he had to land on dangerous grounds where there were no proper runways. You can see from the slide of the kind of runway they fly. Many years ago, I served in an Amish people group in Asia as mission work. This country resides in a 1040 window and is one of the poorest countries in Asia. I had 7 years of working experience in computer line and study business. I also have the gift of administration. I never expected that God would use my skills and talents to contribute to the ministry there. As you can see from the slide, there were many opportunities to reach out to the local and their families. It was an enjoyable experience despite the harsh environment. I really could not imagine that I could be Christ's ambassador for this unreached people group at that time. Daniel became God's witness to the king of Babylon. God gave Daniel skills and gifts to enable him to become a significant influence through his high-ranking position there. God's work in Daniel's life continued even after the death of King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel was requested to interpret the handwriting on the palace wall of King Belshazzar, son of Nebuchadnezzar, in chapter 5. The king was appalled and saw God's power through Daniel's gifting. But that very night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was killed, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom. During King Darius' rule, the king appointed Daniel as one of the 3 high officers in the kingdom. Daniel chapter 6 verse 3 to 4 say, "Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officers and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officers and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault, because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him." God's favor was upon Daniel with the new king. Daniel prospered in his work that caused jealousy among his colleagues. No one could have expected Daniel would become the chief ruler of the kingdom like a prime minister position. And he was found faithful and righteous in all his ways. So learning from Daniel's example, then a tent maker in our current context would be someone who is faithful and fervent follower of Jesus Christ. Not just that, he or she has an excellent spirit which does work well. Besides having commendable conduct, he gains high respect from his employer as a result. In other words, we should see God's presence or God's work through the tent maker's life and work. He or she is different from other people. So we should learn to pray to God to ask him to grant us an excellent spirit in whatever we do, be it in our study or our work, so that we become distinguished from our friends or colleagues for God's work. When Daniel became distinguished from others, he invited opposition. His opposition parties devised a plan to harm him. They persuaded the king to endorse a decree to have all high officers to pay tribute to him only within 30 days, knowing Daniel was faithful to his God. So when Daniel prayed to God as his usual practice, he was reported to the king and put in a lion's den to the king's dismay. But God protected Daniel by shutting the lion's mouth, and God saved him that day. King Darius was astonished and proclaimed faith in God's mighty work in his kingdom. Chapter 6 verse 28 concludes the chapter by saying, "So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persians." And chapter 1 verse 21 reinforces that Daniel was there until the first year of King Cyrus. So Daniel's career started from 605 to 539 BC. No one could have expected Daniel to serve in such a manner in a hard place for about 66 years. he would have been in the 80s. But in God's plan, Daniel served kings of three unreached people groups, namely the Babylonians, Medes, and Persians. Two kings, Nebuchadnezzar and Darius, declared faith in God through Daniel's faith and work. Two more, Belshazzar, Cyrus, recognized God's power. Daniel became a cross-cultural witness and a high-ranking officer in Babylon. God used him and his friends mightily in a foreign land in a challenging place. So likewise, God has given us skills and talents to use them intentionally for his salvation work. We can be a cross-cultural witness in Singapore and a student or a working adult here. We have access to many people groups around us, like our foreign friends or colleagues. And God can use us mightily in Singapore, just like he did for Daniel in Babylon too. So the challenge for us Christians here in Singapore is to befriend and reach out to foreigners of different people groups. And the challenge for churches today and to Ang Mo Kio Presbyterian Church is to invest our resources in the unreached people groups in the world today. To send out workers to the harvest field of the unreached groups which reside in the challenging places. And we must not be afraid of sending our workers to challenging places because God is the actual sender. Unless God wills, no one can go. And we Christians must not be afraid to work in hard places because God's presence will go with us as God did with Daniel and his three friends. So take heart, God is with us in Jesus Christ today. We must learn to serve in faith and not in fear. Alright. I would like to read the following as my concluding statements from a tent-making book entitled Working Your Way to the Nations, written by Jonathan Lewis. Most of the countries in the 1040 windows are either in the midst of an economic boom or they have great social needs. There is a tremendous demand for professionals. And these professionals are generally held in high regard because of their good work ethic, moral lifestyle, and respect for the local culture, so that their Christian witness is often tolerated. In the local country, tent makers are not perceived as religious propagandists, but as professional experts who do a good job and contribute to the development of the nation. Thus, they are not under suspicion. They find plenty of opportunities to share Christ in a sensitive way. Tent makers can provide a good example for young national believers. Therefore, tent makers can really make an important contribution to world mission and can complement the ministry of classical missionaries who are still needed. Tent making is a strategic platform to contribute to the unfinished task of God's mission today. A few are called to do tent making mission work overseas, but many of us are called to serve in Singapore. We are tent makers here as well. Reaching out to someone of a different people group may seem to be challenging, but we can first get involved by praying for the unreached people groups. You can see from the slide, there are some prayer resources from the Joshua Project, such as the prayer booklet and the prayer app. I would encourage us to visit the website and find out more about the unreached people groups. We may start with Singapore. May our missionary God put a burden upon our hearts to be concerned for the unreached out there. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you are our missionary God, that your work is not finished yet, and you have called your churches and Christians to reach out to the not reached yet. And Lord, I pray that as this is a challenging task, but we recognize it's a work of the Holy Spirit to work among us.
I pray, Lord, you give us learning abilities like you gave to Daniel and his three friends. Give us excellent spirit in whatever we do, Lord, so that we'll do it for you, and may we be distinguished from other people and to draw people to Jesus Christ. Hear our prayer, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.